Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Hei at the point at which the Gemara begins. In our previous shiur, we had studied the Mishnah, leaving many points unexplained, waiting for the Gemara to do just that. We open with a quote from the beginning of the Mishnah. Kol ha-nishboin shebetorah, nishboin v'lo mishalmen. In general, oaths that are taken in the context of money matters are oaths where one who claims exemption, who claims non-obligation to pay, will swear to substantiate that claim, and that's what's meant by nishboin. They swear v'lo mishalmen and not pay. Of course, in our Mishnah, we saw a contrast to that, featuring all the examples of those who will swear in order to collect. But the general understanding of Shavuos from a Torah perspective, from a Torah level, is one would swear in order to substantiate his non-obligation, his exemption from paying. Minolan, from where do we know this general principle? The Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, and now we're quoting a Pasuk from Shmos Perikhov Beis, Pasuk Yud. The Gemara gives a partial quote of the Pasuk, the Lokach Bala Velo Yishalem. But before we go any further, let's just glance at the side where we have written the Pasuk. It says, Shvuos Hashem Tieh Bein Shnehem. An oath is imposed between the two parties. Im lo sholach yodo b'mleches reu. Here we're featuring an owner of an item that was given to a shomer, a bailey, to watch, to guard. And the guard will swear in the event that he doesn't have the item anymore, so he will swear that he didn't use it for his own personal benefit. The lokach bolov v'lo yishalem. And the reference here is to the oath being made, and the result, lo yishalem. And we darshan, we continue now in the Gemara, misha olav l'shalem, he upon whom you would expect the payment, in other words, the bailey who no longer has the entrusted article, would be expected to pay in the event that it is no longer extant. So he would be the one you would expect to pay, so upon him is the shvua. And after he swears, as the Pasuk says, then lo yishalem, then he doesn't pay. In other words, the owner of the article will, by the Torah's point of view, accept the shvua in lieu of the payment that the shomer would have otherwise had to make. The Elu Nishboin V'notlin V'chulei, our Mishnah enumerated those that have to, that will swear and then collect. The Sochir was one of the examples featured in the Mishnah, the hired worker, and he will swear claiming that he did not yet get paid. He'll swear and then collect. The Gemara continues. My shno sochir detokinu le rabbonon demishtaba v'shokil. What is special about a hired worker that he swears and collects, which, as we just got finished saying, is a departure from the norm, from that which the Torah understands. Before we continue further in the Gemara, take note of the markings. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, slash mivneh, structural note. You'll see a triangle featured. These are shlavim, stages, kidei lahasbir, in order to explain, lomo tiknu desochir Nishba v'notel. Why is it that a worker was established as one who will swear and collect? As we said, there are stages. So until we get to the actual answer, the Gemara goes through a few trial levels. The Gemara now, first triangle, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Shmuel's name, you'll see, is double underline. Halochas gedolos shonu kan. Great oral teachings we find here. Halacha is a term often associated with an oral tradition going back to the giving of the Torah at Sinai. We call that Halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai. So the Gemara asks, Halochas, hani hilchas onenu? Are these, in truth, oral traditions from Sinai? That's not true. It's a rabbinic invention or a rabbinic innovation. Elo, the Gemara continues, rather, Emo takonos gedolos shanu kan. We have here our large or great rabbinic innovations. The Gemara asks, gedolos, mechlal dika katanos, if you're saying these are great ones, you're implying then that there are minor ones. But that's not so. When the rabbis innovate or introduce a rabbinic ruling, they're all of the same level. We don't have different gradations. Elo, Omar Rav Nachmon, Omar Shmuel, Takonus Kvuos Shonu Kan. We have fixed innovations that are taught here. And what's the innovation? The rabbis uprooted, transferred the oath from the owner, the one who hired the workers, the balabayas, and v'shadua asocher, and placed it upon the worker, mishum kedei chayov, for the benefit of his existence. So, what have we described? For the benefit of the worker, so he is given the right to swear and collect. The Gemara asks, and now we have a new marking scheme. You see a different type of triangle, and on the side, the triangle will appear in alternating directions in the Gemara text, and you have the inverted triangle represents a kushios, questions, and with the point facing up, responses. So in the meantime, the answer just given for why workers have the right, benefit of the rabbinic innovation, is because of their living welfare, for their preservation. The Gemara asks, "Mishum kedei chayav desocher, because of the benefit of the worker, kansinon le labalabayas, we introduce a knas. A knas is often translated as a fine, or in this case, we introduce a loss upon the homeowner, the one who hired the workers. Whereas, from the Torah perspective, he should have been the one." With the right, having claimed that he already paid, to simply swear that he already paid and be off the hook. And now we're subjecting him to the worker swearing and collecting. The Gemara responds, Bala bayas gufe nicho le de mishtaba sochir v'shokio. The homeowner himself is satisfied, is happy that the sochir, that the worker, swears and collects, ki hechi de iskirun le polim. With that advantage, workers then will make themselves available to be hired out. And owners are happy with that situation, that there are readily available workers. And why will they be readily available? Because they, the workers, know that they have this ability to get their fees upon swearing. Adarabba, to the contrary. Socher nichole de lishtaba balabayas v'nifkala ki hechi de ligre balabayas. If you're dealing with the satisfaction standard, then from the worker's perspective, the householder should have the ability to swear and be exempt, so that the homeowner will be happy to hire workers. So the Gemara responds, Balabayas al korche ogar. A balabayas, a householder, doesn't need incentive to hire workers. He has to, if he needs repairs or he needs a job done, he has to. Against, it's not something that is up to his volition or his desire. He is in a position when he needs the services, he's forced to hire workers, regardless of the satisfaction level involved. The Gemara says, well, Sochir Nami al Korche Misgar, the worker is also against his will, simply by the reality of life that he needs an income, he's going to have to hire himself out. We don't need to give him any further incentives. So why has the Shavua been taken from the Balabayas and put on workers? Elo Balabayas Torud Befalov Hu. The householder, assuming that we're not dealing with just a singular worker, but the householder hires people to do all kinds of jobs. We say householder, that might be a misnomer, it might be a factory manager, a factory owner. He has a lot of workers. So that he can't be sure. Torah means preoccupied with many different workers, and he's already paid some of them, and when a particular worker comes asking for his wages, the owner might very well think that he paid him already. He's not sure. So we can't expect the Balabayas to swear with any degree of reliability. The Gemara asks, the lasiv lay beloshua, why not simply say that owner pays workers without the worker swearing, oh, I didn't get paid yet? The Gemara responds, kidei lahofiz daita shel balabayas, so as to calm the emotions of the owner, which otherwise would have been irritated in the situation of his having to pay without any oath. The owner understands he's going to have to pay, but he's calmed by the fact that he's not paying for nothing, so to speak. Here the worker is swearing in order to get his pay. Question. The lasiv lay be'edim. Rashi says, the lasiv lay be'edim, yiskenu chachomim, let the rabbis establish litin odim schar lepoyol lebeidim v'lo yovo lidei shvua, that wages are not to be paid other than in the presence of witnesses, and that way we avoid the need for a shvua. The Gemara responds, tricholei milsa, that's an undue burden on the owner to make available to find witnesses every time wages have to be paid. Question. Velasiv lay meikora. Rashi on this explains, Velasiv lay meikora liskin rabbonon. Why don't the rabbis establish even on mufoyalov schoron shachris achelo yeshubim locha, that workers are to be paid right out at the morning before they start their work? And if the worker comes after the day is over, he'll get nothing. So if we establish a formal procedure that workers are paid right at the beginning, and then there'll be no need for an oath. The Gemara responds, Shnehem roitzim behakofa. Both the worker and the owner want to have a situation where the wages are, or let's say hakafa literally is on credit, where the work is done, so to speak, on credit, meaning that the money is not paid so quickly. Rashi explains, often the owner doesn't have cash right off in the morning. And the worker, if he has money in the course of the day, he might very well spend it before he gets home with his wages, so that he would prefer not having the cash so readily available, thereby ensuring him to have what we call take-home pay, in the literal sense. They'll have pay to take home. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. If then the reason that the Shvua is removed from the Balabayas and put on the workers is because of the Tirda issue, the owner being unsettled, preoccupied with his workers, then Afilu Kotsats Nami, then even when the issue arises, a controversy arises concerning amount. Kotsats is the fixed amount. We should also then believe the worker with regard to that issue. How much was established to be paid? And yet, we don't find us believing the worker. Aloma Tanya, why then? We have the following source that says, the worker says, you agreed to pay me $2, $200, whatever the case is, but it's an amount. It's an arbitrary amount. And the worker claims, you claim to pay me two. And the owner responds, no, I agreed to pay you only one. Hamotzi mechaveroi olov haraya. The one who is trying to extract from the other, in this case the worker is trying to get pay from the owner, he will have to bring proof, he'll have to bring witnesses. And without witnesses, the Shvua is not going to help him. Let's take a look at the Rashi at the top, the end of the first line. Afilu kotzatzami, afilu nechluku al ktsitsa. Even if there is an argument between owner and worker regarding amount fixed as wages, if the tirda consideration is that reason that we enable the worker to swear and collect, why not regarding amount as well? The Gemara answers, Ketzitza vadai midkar dochir lei. When it comes to the issue of the amount, that's something that the owner doesn't forget. He definitely remembers that. Whether or not he's formally paid the money or not, that, we say, is something that the owner might not be sure of. But the amount that he agreed to pay, that he's sure of. And therefore, there's no need to there was no need to grant, let's say, shvua rights to the worker in order to establish the wages. The Gemara continues with a question. Ihachi, if so, that the balabayas is torud, afilu ovar zmano nami, even a day later, after the end of the day. Ovar Zmano is a reference to the fixed time in which the Torah expects you to pay the worker. So if you have a day worker, the time for his payment is throughout the night. In other words, by the next morning, the Torah says you will already have to pay the day worker. Or in a night worker, so you have the following daytime hours for the night worker to get paid. Beyond that, the Gemara refers to that as Ovar Zmano. You notice, by the way, we have diamonds. And on the side under the Mivneh, these are questions, Shelos Mivusosis Alha de Balabayas Torah. These are questions based on the answer the Gemara had given before, that if the Balabayas is Torud, so then he shouldn't be expected to know. We saw already the amount agreed upon? And we answered, amount agreed upon is something he, the tirda doesn't affect. And here we're asking, well, if the Baal HaBayis is torud, if the owner is torud, so then even after the time of payment, the workers should have the right to swear and collect. But we don't say that. Aloma Tanya, why do we have the following teaching? Ovar Zmano v'lo nosan lo hareza eino nishba v'notel. If the, as we said, the time, the Torah time for paying a worker passes, we don't any longer give the worker the right to swear and collect. And why not? Chazoka ein balabayas over b'bal tolin. An owner will not violate the prohibition of delaying wages, which is called bal tolin. Ah, but the amris bal habayis torah before lavu. But didn't you say that the bal habayis is preoccupied, is unsettled by the pressure of paying his workers? So if he's unsettled by that pressure, why then do we see in this source that no, when it's over, he definitely will have paid his workers? The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, the concept or the phenomenon of Torud, Mekami Delimti Zman Chiyuvu, that is before the end time, before the time of expiration of expected payment arrives. Kimot Zman Chiyuvu, when the end of that, we'll say that 12-hour period, the 12-hour period that follows the end of the work, when the end of that 12-hour period comes, either daytime for the night worker or the nighttime for the day worker, Romi Anafshe Umikar, he exerts himself, the owner exerts himself, and concentrates and will remember. So that the whole issue of does the worker have the right to swear or not, that's only when the controversy between owner and Baal HaBayis arises during those initial hours after the work is completed. But when the total time, the total 12-hour period lapses, there's no doubt anymore in the mind of the owner. Now, what was this based on? Based on this idea that an owner definitely will not violate the prohibition of Baal Tolin. Now, let's think this through. The daytime worker is expected to be paid throughout the night. The next morning comes, we say, at that point, if the owner is saying, I paid, you can rest assured he's already paid. He wouldn't violate that. So what's happening, though, at the same time? You've got the worker claiming he didn't get paid yet. And he's asking for pay. When is he asking? He's asking for pay after that 12-hour period lapsed. V'chisochir oiver mishum bal tigzoil. Are you suggesting that the worker who is asking for his pay is double dipping? He's going to be in violation and a theft? The Gemara responds, the reason we nevertheless believe the owner, Gabi Baal HaBayis, he got trei chazoki. You've got two explanations. Chazoka is an assumed status that applies to people. You have two of these assumed status issues that apply to the owner. And what are they? One, chado di'ein Baal HaBayis over b'Baal Tolin. An owner will not violate that Torah prohibition of delaying wages. V'chado di'ein socher mashis choro. Another assumed human behavior is that workers don't delay receiving their wages. People don't have patience to wait for their pay. Most people will insist on having received their pay fairly close to the time they finished their job. They're not going to wait more than 12 hours. So you have a worker that the 12-hour daytime or nighttime period has lapsed. Most people have already received their pay. Waiting so long is out of the ordinary. Therefore, it's more certain that at that point the owner has already paid. And therefore, Ovar Zmano, as we said in the source, the worker is no longer in the position to be Nishba v'notel. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. So we glance at the side, where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. A trapezoid or volcano shape appears. This highlights the name Shmuel, and later Rav. Sovrim, they hold the Lo Shonu, the Socher Nishba v'Noitel, this idea that a worker has the right to swear and thereby collect his wages. Elim Kain Yesh Aidim Shabalabais Hasiko. This is true only if there are witnesses that could testify that the householder actually hired this man. Dilo, if not, if there are no witnesses, then Yochel Balabayas Lipoter Mitashlum Ayade Migu. The householder would be able to exonerate or exempt himself from paying through a type of claim called amigu. We'll explain what amigu is when we go through the Gemara, through an illustration. The Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Loi Shonu, the teaching that, or the law, that a worker is Nishma V'Notel, can swear and collect his wages, Elo Shesachro B'Edim. This is true only if he was hired by the householder in the presence of witnesses. Avol Socher Shelo B'Edim, if the owner hired the worker privately, Mitoch Sheyochol Loimar Loi, since the householder, the owner, could say, Lo Sochartich Me'elam, I never hired you, Yochol Loimar Lo, he is therefore able to say, Sochartich V'Nosati Lo Socher, I hired you, but I already paid you. So that is an example of a migu. Believe me, when I say this, since, migu means since, I could have said something else and have been believed there with that taina as well. So once again, Balabayas owner says, you had better believe me when I say I hired you but paid you already, because I could have easily said, I never hired you. There's no one to testify against me. Omar Le Reb Yitzchok Yasher. Reb Yitzchok says, regarding Shmuel's teaching, that is good, that is accurate. Strength be upon him. V'chein Omar Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan said thusly as well. The Gemara asks, we often find Reish Lakish present, reacting to Reb Yochanan and his rulings. We don't find Reish Lakish arguing with this. So, are we to assume that Michlal de Poligole Reish Lakish? You're saying that this is what Reb Yochanan said. You're leaving room for us to think that it's only Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish would have argued. But we don't see that. So, the Gemara says, Iko di Amri, some versions of this incident report, Mishtah v'shosile v'shosikle. When Reb Yochanan was saying this teaching, that if the worker was hired privately, then the rabbinic institution of Nishba V'Noita would not apply, Reish Lakish at that time, at that moment, was drinking. And since he was drinking, he couldn't react. But in the meantime, Reb Yitzchok had walked out. So he never heard Reish Lakish's response. The Ikar D'Amri, another version of the story is, Misha V'Shohilei V'Shosiklei. Reish Lakish didn't react immediately or spontaneously to comments made by Reb Yochanan. He waited. Misha is to wait. He delayed, waited. He listened to Reb Yochanan to the very end and then mulled over the ideas. But in the meantime, Reb Yitzchok had walked out and hence could not tell us what Reish Lakish's response was. Itmar Nami, Omar of Venashia, Bar Zvid, Omar Rav. Similar to what Shmuel had taught, Rav also taught Loshonu, Elosh Sochru, Beatim. The teaching of the Mishnah of Nishba V'Noitel applies only when he was hired in the presence of witnesses, Aval Sochru Shlo Beatim. But if the hiring was not in the presence of witnesses, it was he was hired privately. Mitoch Shiyochel Lomar Lo, since the owner could have said, Lo Sochartich Me'olam, I never hired you. Yochel Lomar Lo, he can also say, Schartich V'Nosatich Loch V'Nosati Loch Schorcha, I hired you, but I've already paid you. And with that, the owner is believed, leaving no room for the worker to swear and collect payment. As we go on in the Gemara, notice a new marking, a house shape, which appears in an alternating direction. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the house marking appears. We call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. So we've noted, Aleph, point Aleph, Romi Bar Chamo Mishabech Dinom Sharavu Shmuel. We'll see Romi Bar Chamo praising the teachings of Rav and Shmuel. De'ein HaSochin Nishba V'Noitel Imken Yesh Edim. The idea of a worker swearing and thereby collecting his wages is only if he was hired in the presence of witnesses. To Bil Adam, without the witnesses, Balabayas Nemon B'Migu B'Li Shmua. The Balabayas would have been believed with his Migu strength, Migu type claim, without any oath. We will also see that this house marking with the tip facing up represents Tshuva's responses to questions that will be raised. The inverted house marking, Kushios, in Balabayas Nemon B'Migu U'Beli Shvua, if we'll accept that idea that an owner would be believed without any Shvua, because the owner has that Migu strength claim, well then, Shvuas HaShomrim Hechi Mishkachas La. This is a slightly different topic, but the issue we're raising gives us a right to dive into this additional topic of Shvuas HaShomrim. What's Shvuas HaShomrim? A person is entrusted with an article to watch, and something happens, something goes wrong, and the article is lost. If it's a non-paid Bailey, so a loss does not cause him an obligation to pay. Namely, he has the Torah option of swearing, saying it was lost, and it gets off the hook. A paid Bailey, if something happened against his will, or uncontrollable circumstances, we call that an ones. If an ones happened, something beyond one's control, is the claimed reason for the paid Bailey not to have the entrusted item, he can swear to that effect and be off the hook. So that's as far as what Shvuas HaShomrim is. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Omar Romi Bar Chama, Kama Ma'al Yehosh Shmaitza. How wonderful is that teaching? The teaching that Rav and Shmuel said, that the whole idea of a worker swearing and collecting is only when he was hired in the presence of witnesses, thereby forestalling or depriving the owner from denying the hiring altogether. Omar le Rava, my mal Yusa. Rava questions Rami Bar Chama, what's so wonderful, what's so praiseworthy about those teachings? In Cain, Shvuas Shomrim d'chiyev Rachmona hechi mishkachas la. The idea of a guard, a Bailey, swearing and exonerating himself, exempting himself from payment, under what circumstances will he have to swear? Mitoch shiyocho lomar lo, a shomer, since he could say, lo hoyu dvora me'olam, well, I was never given anything to begin with. Yocho lomar lo nensu, should he not be able to put forward his claim? Nensu, I was given the item to watch, but it got, it's no longer around because of ones. So under what circumstances will we be able to understand Shvuas HaShomrim? The Gemara answers very simply, the Afkid lay the Adim, when the item was entrusted in front of witnesses. So if the item was entrusted in front of witnesses, the Shomer cannot say, oh, no, I was never given anything. The Gemara asks, but nevertheless, still, Mitoch Shiyocho Lomar Lo Hechzartiv Loch, since the shomer could say, yes, it's true, you hired me to watch it, but I gave it back to you already. Yocho lo marlo nansu. He should be able to say, true, I didn't give it back to you, but it's gone through ones circumstances. And once again, where do you find an oath necessary? The Gemara answers, the afkid lay bishtora. If the initial entrusting was done with a document, that means the owner has a document that the shomer had received the item, and that as long as the when an item is returned to the owner, so the owner would give back the shtar. It's a little reminiscent of a coat that's entrusted to a coat room oftentimes you find this in a hotel or in a certain synagogues, and in exchange for the coat that you entrusted to the watch person in the coat room, you get a ticket. So the ticket that you're holding on to is indicative of your having given it and not yet having received it in return. So that as long as the balabayas is holding, the owner is holding the document indicating that he had given the item, the shomer cannot claim, I already gave it back to you. So under those circumstances that there's a shtar indicating an initial entrusting and the non-return of the item, if the shomer wants to claim that nansu, it's gone out of uncontrollable circumstances, he'll have to swear to substantiate that claim. And that's the Shvuas HaShomrim. Those are the circumstances of the Shvuas HaShomrim. The Gemara continues, Michlal, we can therefore infer from here that the Travayu, both Romi Bar Chama and Rova hold Svira Lehu, Hamafkid Eitzel Chavero Be'edim, when something is entrusted to a Bailey in the presence of witnesses, Ein Sorach Lahachsir Lo Be'edim. The return of the item to the owner doesn't have to be in the presence of witnesses. That's what you saw from the discussion above. However, Bishtar, if the item is entrusted to the Bailey with a document, with a ticket, so then Tzorech Lahachsir Lo Be'edim. If the Shomer wants to claim that he no longer has it, he would have to, and not swear, he would have to have returned it in the presence of witnesses. As we go on in the Gemara, we have on the side a nosei, nosei hemshech. Hemshech means a continuation of this sukya. So reading the note on the side, Rav Sheshes menase levarer, derech moker. Rav Sheshes will try to clarify through a Tanaic source, im Esau leha de Shmuel v'Rav. Do we really accept their ruling? The Gemara. Kori Romi Bar Chama olei de Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama refers or describes Rav Sheshes. We haven't seen Rav Sheshes yet, but on the next line you'll see him come forward. Rami Bar Chama refers to that which Rav Sheshes does, the following pasuk. Vayosem David es hadvorim o'eile belibo. Regarding Rav Sheshes, his attempt to clarify or discern the accuracy of Shmuel and Rav's teaching, they had said that there is no nishba v'notel unless the initial hiring of the worker was done in the presence of witnesses. The Gemara continues, De'ashkechei Rav Sheshes l'Rabo Bar Shmuel. On a particular occasion, Rav Sheshes met up with Rabo Bar Shmuel Amarle, Tony Mor Midi Besochir, and Rav Sheshes asked, do you have any Tanaic teachings regarding hired workers? Amarle, yes, I have the following teaching. Tanina, we have the following source, we learned as follows. Sochir Bismano Nishba Benoitel Ketzad. The worker within his time frame for receiving the wages, which we described earlier, the initial 12-hour period after the conclusion of his work. Bizman sha'omar lo schartani velonasati li schori. When the worker says to the owner, you hired me but have not yet paid. V'halo omer, and the owner says, "Chartich v'nosati loch schorcha." Yes, I hired you, but I've already paid. So, if you have a controversy between worker and owner, and it's bismano, it's within that initial time frame of worker obligation to pay worker. So then, disagreement like this, the worker swears and collects. That's nishba v'notel. Avol. We continue now in the seifa, the end of this source. Omar lo shtayim kotzatzteli. The worker claims you agreed to pay me two. The halo omer, and the owner says lo kotzatzi lo chelo achas. No, I agreed to pay you only one. Hamotzi mechavero olof haraya. Then it's the obligation of the one trying to collect payment, in this case the worker, to bring proof. And proof would be through witnesses. And in the absence of his being able to bring witnesses to substantiate his claim, so the balabayas does not have to pay. He doesn't have to pay the two. He'll pay only the one that he claims is the amount. So now, Rav Sheshes comments, Ha mi de seifa beraya havi resha below raya. From the fact that in this source you see that witnesses are needed in order for the worker to collect, and without that he won't be able to get what he wants. In the resha, where we saw nishba v'notel, the worker swears and collects below raya. There's no presence of witnesses. Only in the seifa do we say that the worker, in order to benefit from benefit based on his claim, there he would need witnesses. But in the resha, the worker will have his benefit of nishba v'notel without witnesses. So that, what do we see from this? We see that even without witnesses, the owner, had hired the worker is nishba v'notel. And yet Rav and Shmuel said that the whole concept or practice of nishba v'notel is only if there are witnesses. We look at Rashi. We then can infer that in the Reisha, the idea of Nishba v'Notil is without any witnesses. Eino tzorech lehavi edim she'asa imo. He doesn't have to bring witnesses that he was hired. V'lesa l'darav u'shmuel d'liel. And that would thereby refute or show that Rav and Shmuel is not correct. They had set up the Mishnah that said Nishba v'notel b'shesachrel b'yedim, where the initial hiring was done with witnesses. We continue. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman rejects this, let's say, analysis of Rav Sheshes. We continue at the top of Daf Mem Vov. Reisha v'seifa v'raya. Not only the seifa is with witnesses, and only then will the worker be able to, succeed in his claim. The reisha as well is only if there are witnesses. Only if there are witnesses could there be nishba v'notel. Without witnesses, like Rav and Shmuel said, the owner could deny ever having employed this fellow. So if that's the case, why then does the concept of raya, of proof, which is in the form of witnesses, appear only at the end of the source? The Gemara explains, namely Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak explains, raya d'lishalem kotoni, the need for witnesses, the result of which would be to pay out, where the owner would have to pay two and not just one like he claimed. That is what the source is interested in teaching. Raya d'shvua lo kotani, the presence of witnesses to enable an oath to be taken, that is not the preoccupation of this source. But it doesn't mean that it's not so. In fact, the swearing on the part of the worker is a reality only in fact if there are witnesses, just like Rav and Shmuel had taught. But as we said, the source wasn't interested in presenting that, in featuring witnesses for the purpose of swearing. It was interested only in the witnesses for the purpose of paying out. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.